City Council, City Staff, those of you present in the chamber and online, please join me in prayer. God of mercy, God of grace and peace, we pray to you, we come to you with thanksgiving for these elected officials, for all the city staff. Many times their jobs are thankless jobs. Lots of criticism, sometimes not enough thanks. God, you know about thankless jobs. You sent your son to a thankless people, even to the point of sending him to his death on the cross. For all those who govern, we pray that wisdom might guide them, that your Holy Spirit might guide their decisions. For all those who labor in the service of our country, we pray to you. And now we come to you with a desperate plea. Guide scientists and entomologists and leaders to quickly eradicate the screw worms that are moving northward in our state. We remember from years ago, we need protection for our livestock, our wildlife, our pets, even our local livestock auction that's right here within our own city limits. So keep us and hold us, gracious God. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
So we start off this morning with ceremonial matters and employee recognition. So I will turn it over to our city manager.
Okay, thank you, Mayor, Council. So every year we have four different employee awards that we hand out during our city picnic. These awards are voted on by the entire base of city employees. So when you look at these names, these are folks that not only serve the our external customers, but serve our internal customers as well. I'd like to start with Margie Rivera, who was our customer service award winner. If you know Margie, there's probably not a more helpful individual in City Hall than Margie, always willing to step out. Also a wonderful office decorator, just in case you need that, anyone. But both internal and external customer service, just excellent. Seth Mellering, here's a picture. Seth is second from the left here. Seth Mellering is the recipient of the Stephen Entz Johnny Hustle Award. If you knew Stephen Entz, when he retired, we swore that it would take 10 people to replace him, and I think that's holding true. So the award is aptly named, and if you know Seth, you see him running around everywhere. He played a huge part in the remodel of City Hall. You'll see him on a mower outside. He's everywhere all the time. The third recipient, Garrett Bond, Supervisor of the Year Award. And Garrett does not like this type of recognition. I was going to have him stand up and make a speech today, but he refused. Very well deserved. Again, played a huge part in the remodel of this facility. Garrett is the first to step up and volunteer to take care of the toughest issues, supportive of staff. From the big things to the small things, very well deserved. And then finally, Employee of the Year Award, the late Dennis Durst. Dennis passed away April 27th of this year after serving 36 years with the city of Fredericksburg. And so deserving of this award that we're renaming the award the Dennis Durst Employee of the Year Award. So Dennis is already very much so missed, played a huge role in the water department, primarily with the city of Fredericksburg, but a leader in the organization, a mentor for many, and again, very deserving of this Employee of the Year Award. That's all I have.
Well, thank you. Congratulations, all. Council comments?
Sure, I'll start. I have an airport board meeting today at 1 o'clock and an EDC meeting on Friday. And congratulations to the four recipients of the awards. They do an amazing job for our city. Thank you.
On the 4th, I had a meeting with Lisa at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. I also attended the Employee City Picnic. Thank you to Fire and EMS for putting that on, and also congratulations to the award winners. On the 8th, I attended a Leadership Gillespie County Advisory Meeting. Sean was also there. And then on this past Saturday, I attended the Craft Beer Fest. Congratulations to Rotary for once again putting on a good event. That's all.
Thank you.
I have one more. Also, I have a meeting with Lisa tomorrow morning, and looking forward to that. Learn about the EDC, the CBB. Thank you.
A couple things. One is Ashley's in our presence this morning. Thank you for being here. She's actually been leading calls with city leadership, county leadership, the judge, fire and EMS on the whole screwworm issue. And so she's going to give us a comprehensive update. The other part is I've joined an informal group. There is no quorum, so we're very careful about that. With two of our commissioners last week, I met our new FISD school superintendent, Dr. Kelvin. And Matt Seidenberg was also presiding there as well, and Tony, myself, attended. And the goal is we just want to build a strong relationship with the FISD school board and with the county commissioners. This is a community we all live in. So I'm going to continue to do those sessions and look forward to collaborating with our partners in the county here as well as the school. So thank you for all that. Item 6A is a consent agenda. The following items may be acted upon in a single motion. It consists of the city council meetings from June 2nd, 2026. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Approved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 6A carries. Item 7A, we have a speaker. So, City Secretary, I'll ask you, should we have a speaker first before we deliberate on that item? Or announce what? Okay, have staff. So
Clint, yeah, I'd be happy to introduce the item. Good morning, Mayor, to you and City Council, and thank you. You got one meeting away from me. Here I am again, bringing a request to you from the P&Z Commission. Specifically, this is a request Z-2609. It's on behalf of Walmart Real Estate. They are looking for an amendment to their existing planned unit development. To amend it specifically, there are a couple sections or conditions of the original approval they're looking to amend. It's specifically pertaining to the location of the fuel islands and the reorganization of the parking. I know the applicant should be here to do their presentation, and then staff would be happy to present on behalf of the city and answer any questions that you have. And then, of course, you'll hold a public hearing at that point and then take action on the item.
Okay. With that, I will open up to public comments. I apologize. Come on up.
Good morning. I'm Wendy Wirt with HFA. And like was said, we are looking for two amendments to the original PUD, which was created in 2004. The two amendments would be for the reduction in parking spaces. The original PUD showed 843 spaces. However, the original store was approved and constructed with 746, and our improvements are showing 748. So we are actually not losing any spaces that are on that site currently. Second, we are asking for relocation of where the original PUD showed the fuel station. We believe it will help with improved safety. There will be no cars going in front of the store that are circulating with the fuel station. It creates a greater connection to the Main Street corridor, has improved pedestrian and sidewalk improvements along Main Street with that. There was a traffic impact analysis that was completed regarding the signal on Main Street, and we do have a meeting with TxDOT to go over the findings. But the recommendation was to optimize the signal timing that is existing to allow cars out of the parking lot better. You have any questions? I can answer those.
Let me.
Yes, sir.
I had a question. I know you're moving it to the front, and I was just kind of when I was passing by there this morning. Is that right there where all those trees are? The so question.
No existing landscaping on the outside will be removed at all. There are a couple trees that are in parking islands that will be removed, but they are being proposed to be replaced. So not the existing curb line on the outside, it will remain.
Yeah, I figured that. The question I have is, and I've heard before, of course, when it was approved, I was a younger man. Everybody here was a lot younger. But about the gateway, what the appearance from the gateway coming into town was a concern. So how did we look at that from the city and the PNC and what else?
Well, I think from a staff standpoint, I can give you my report, and then I think we can follow up with any questions that you have at that point.
Anything further? Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll follow up with the staff update on this. So as the applicant had indicated and I touched on, this is an amendment to the original 2004 PUD. Specifically, I think it was adopted via ordinance 2014-010 in 2004. And it had several conditions that were attached to it in terms of the use itself. Obviously, the Walmart Supercenter and all accessory operations. It also did identify uses, landscaping, site plan approval in the original 2004 application and approval. This is specifically an amendment to conditions 1 and 12, as the applicant had indicated, and those were the relocation of the fuel islands, which will bring it closer to Main Street, and then reorganization of the parking. As the applicant had indicated, there is a the original parking required many more parking spaces. Actually, this reorganization and new plan actually adds two parking spaces to the original approval. So that will address the parking, and it won't further impact that. In terms of looking at it from a corridor or an entry corridor design standpoint, all developments are required to go through the site plan approval process. As part of the PUD amendment, the staff did reevaluate it from a site plan standpoint. We reevaluated all the requirements, such as the civil construction plans, landscaping, and all of those elements to make sure that we were consistent with our site plan requirements. And that's why when you look at the recommendation that went to PNZ from staff, we did recommend that civil construction plans be required to review drainage and permitting. Public sidewalks and pedestrian crossing facilities at the traffic light would be addressed. In 2004, there was an escrow put in place to do the sidewalk improvements running parallel to Main Street to the front of the property, which has never been completed. A condition of approval is they must physically complete that as part of this process. So the goal is to have pedestrian sidewalks running in front of the development itself. This was an opportunity to do that. We would need updated approved TxDOT driveway permits. And I know Chris and Evan and Sybil have been working with TxDOT on some TxDOT approvals, which could result in some restriping of the intersection of Friendship and Main Street, if I recall, at that point. And we would incorporate this site plan into the CUP, and then there would be the installation of a new digital sign plan. So, Tony, to answer your question, this is looked at as part of the site plan process. This is an opportunity to further ensure that landscaping and new codes are being met as part of this process. We will take a hard look at that and make sure all the landscaping and the approvals are part of that administrative approval at that point. One thing I do want to stress, the parking is not as big a concern because it's internal, and we don't think it's going to create any increased parking issues, but I do want to reinforce This will make the fuel islands much more visible from Main Street. They were nooked behind the hotel, closer to the detention pond in the original approval. So there are some visibility issues. It's going to come up. It's going to be much more visible. The island, for example, the canopy is going to be much more visible. One thing we are going to do as a staff, it's an opportunity in 2004. We didn't have the dark skies ordinance. Now we do. So we will ensure that they are in compliance with the dark sky provisions in terms of the fuel islands and the canopy and the actual pumps when those are reviewed as part of the administrative review process. I'm sorry?
How many pumps are being put in?
There are six. The original, I was surprised, the original 2004 approval had six pumps. And a pump is defined as the individual pump itself with multi-dispensers, one on each side. So you would have, and there's a visual of it right there, so you would have six pumps on one island under one canopy, which your current provisions of your code talk about the maximum of three, but it also requires that those individual multi-dispensing pumps be on one island under one canopy. So long story short, you're going from three to six. You're going to have 12 accessible dispensers on six pumps at that point under one canopy.
So back to the sidewalks for a moment. I'm not looking for exact measurements, but does it simply run the span of the convenience station there, or what are we getting in return?
The frontage, and Chris probably knows this better than me, but the frontage along Main Street there running from, I guess, Walmart Drive all the way to Main Street.
So entrance to entrance.
Yeah, right now it stops at O'Reilly's there in front of O'Reilly's, and it goes over to the new shopping center where the Jimmy John's is. So connect that piece of sidewalk along Main Street.
Okay. The other thing that I was at planning and zoning, the other Commissioner Giroux brought up was not having audio components, speakers on the pumps as well. Is that a part of what we're asking as well?
So we didn't really get into too much in terms of conditions of the details of the pumps themselves, but I think a condition, the beauty about what council can do with any recommendation that comes from P&Z, you can approve them as presented, you can approve them with additional restrictions. I would encourage, if that's something you want to do, to add a standard non-visual type of pump or whatever the verbiage is as part of your condition of approval.
Okay.
I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the standard Walmart pump traditionally does not have the video board that does advertisements while you're pumping the gas. But for extra protection, I think you could add that to your approval.
I think that was an ask from planning and zoning, so I would request that.
Did they state why they are requesting that?
Not specifically, no, but we actually had two CUPs for this, and both were requested not to have the audiovisual. So
I think it's the noise.
Yep, it was the noise.
Who's it going to disturb other than the people getting gas?
The general request was not, the general request was not to have it. So I'm passing that along.
Okay.
The other
question I would have is, how about signage?
So the signage, that was a staff recommendation in the end. So my understanding, so they're going to have a combination of signage. You're going to have the new monument sign there'll be two of them, and the applicant may be able to better address this, but you're going to have two of them. They're going to replace the two existing monument signs, with the exception that you're going to have the digital readers with the gas prices on the bottom, which are pretty standard for any fuel station. They like to keep they replace the old manual reader board, right? They update the prices daily. So my understanding is this monument sign will replace the two existing monument signs and add the digital reader board with the prices. In addition to that, you are going to, on the canopy, probably have the Murphy Oil emblem on the canopy over the fuel islands themselves, and the Walmart insignia on the actual cash collection, a little retail area that's attached to the accessory addition to the Walmart development.
Does the total signage meet our sign requirements for the city?
It does, and it's well within what was originally approved as part of the PUD.
The last one I'll just pass along again from planning and zoning. There was concern about the refilling trucks, how they would traverse that. In my understanding to the applicant is you would route them down Friendship Lane into the parking lot. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. They would maintain the truck entrance at the south of the main store.
Okay.
And come up and then come back out. And so again, not exiting through the light on Main Street and not going in front of the store.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions before we open it up? Okay. So I'll open up for public comments. We have Belinda McDonald.
Good morning, Council. I just want to, as a member of P&Z, I just want to reinforce everything that Mr. Cross just spoke about with the signage, the entry corridor. There are two areas that I also want to make sure we pay attention to. The first is landscaping, and I know our development department will review this, but we have an opportunity to also make sure that the new landscaping is done so that it really benefits that entry corridor. Right now, that front is a little sparse. There's other areas where they have done more landscaping, so I'd like to see that done as well. The main thing I want to pay attention to is our dark sky ordinances as they apply to this. Fredericksburg was one of the leaders in our area for our dark sky ordinance. It has definitely been applying to our commercial venues. We recently had a conference here with the Hill Country Dark Sky Alliance. And I want to make sure that we remain vigilant with our neighbors in Burney to really look at lighting. We know that lighting of the light post can really contribute to light pollution. So I would like to see those lowered as much as possible and all the hooding restrictions be done in compliance and best practices with our dark sky ordinances. Also, for any backlit signage that's on this, we would request the same thing. So that's just something I want to make sure that is added to the ordinance and that we pay attention to. Thank you.
Thank you. And Cliff, do you have any response? Are we fully within those boundaries?
We are. The ordinance didn't specifically identify the dark skies, but as a staff, we are obligated by our dark skies ordinance. If you recall how it is written, I think it's May of 2029. That's when non-conforming dark skies come into place. But for new construction, staff is obligated to comply or enforce compliance with our dark sky provisions. We will definitely take a look at that and make sure we do that in to be consistent with that adopted code.
Okay. And to the applicant, the request regarding landscaping, does that cause any challenges for you?
No, absolutely not. And I'm the landscape architect on the project, so I'll make sure to give you guys some good stuff.
Thank you very much. Okay. Any other comments, questions for anyone?
The only comment, I think everything is well with the ordinances. The only thing I want to comment on is the speakers on the gas pumps. Every other gas pump in this town has speakers, except maybe Strayer's. But I don't know why we would eliminate those from Walmart.
Yeah, please.
I think that is confusing. We had two different pump stations that came before P&Z last time. I believe the audio issue was in relation to one that is on North Milam and is very much in a residential area. So the concern was we didn't want neighbors being woken up or kept up with the audio going on those gas pumps. I don't think that's as much of an issue here on Highway 290 and Main Street, but it definitely was for the North Mile. Right.
Well, you're on P&Z, so you don't think that was the issue with Walmart?
No.
Okay. Then I pull that comment back then.
Okay. Thank you.
So In consideration for item 7A, what we're looking to do is take action on improving ordinance 2026-24. So I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented with the stipulation that this applicant meets all our current ordinances and codes.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion approved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Item 7A carries and it is approved. Thank you. Thank you very much. Moving to item 7B, request Z2610 County Express Food Mart. This is the other one that Belinda just mentioned and that has been pulled. They've been asked to take a look at redesigning what they are looking at implementing, so we will not discuss that one. Moving to item 7C, this is request Z2611 by the Lawrence Group, Edwards Jones, consider a conditional use permit. So, Cliff, do I turn it over to you here?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, and I believe the applicant is here. Like the other case, we will let them come forward and present their case, and then staff will follow up with our presentation and answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. I've echo Mr. Bache's words and just gratitude for your shepherding of our community. My name is Jack Pounds. Edward Jones has operated an office at 233 West Main Street continuously since November of 2000, so a little over 25 years now. It was established and grandfathered in before any of the ordinances related to chain stores on Main Street. Over time, we've been fortunate to have business growth, and the current space that we're in just is not adequate for serving our clients and community as well as we would like to be able to. And so we're requesting a conditional use permit to expand internally into the adjoining office spaces 235 and 237 within the same building there. And so we appreciate the spirit of wanting to maintain the charm and character of Fredericksburg and downtown. Although we technically have a Main Street address, we might be the least noticeable financial services office in town. If you didn't know where we were, if you weren't already working with us, you might not even know we were there. And we don't intend that to change. This is purely an internal expansion within the same building. If you were a keen observer and knew we were there, the only change you might notice would be our main sign moving a little further away from Main Street, from hanging over the 233 door to more over the 235 door, which is where we envision the main entrance to be there. So, we appreciate your consideration.
Well, thank you. We don't have any speakers for that one, but any comments, questions? So we're all good with that one. Okay, I'll entertain a motion for.
You want Cliff?
Oh, I apologize, Cliff. Oh, jumping ahead of you.
No problem. So, Mr. Pounds covered a majority of it. Obviously, this is a request for a standardized business within the historic shopping district. His business currently exists in one suite and is looking to expand into two additional suites to the rear. In looking at this, the question becomes, how is this similar in nature to any prior request? I think from a staff standpoint, we looked at it as this really is not an establishment request. This is an expansion of an existing standardized business, which has been very successful within the historic district. So when we look at that, we obviously look at the review and evaluation criteria identified in section 5.461 when we present this to the P&Z. And basically the findings that we look at is for an affirmative finding that the existence of such a business will not materially alter the general characteristics of the surrounding area, detract from the uniqueness of the historic shopping district, contribute to the nationwide trend of standardized offerings, or impair the intent of this ordinance. And then we ask that the P&Z find an affirmative finding that this establishment or the expansion in this case of this business would add diversity to the mix of the businesses. Obviously, they're already there, so it's not really adding anything. It would complement those businesses already in the district. It already does because it exists. It helps to promote and foster the local economic base. I think Mr. Pounds touched on it when his clients find him. So it's an anchor and a destination source, which brings people downtown. And is it currently existing in the district? Yes, it is. And I think the goal of this ordinance is to protect everyone in the district, not punish the mothership, so to speak, that is at home and striving in downtown. So based upon that, we made a recommendation of approval to the P&Z, who consider this, and they further recommended approval of this as it was presented to the P&Z based upon the finding that the expansion would not alter the district's identity. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
I don't have any.
You had some graphics from planning and zoning that kind of showed, do you have that in the packet here or not?
I do in the packet. We do have an illustration of the footprint. And if you look, it actually, the expansions run to the suites to the rear of the property. So they pull away from Main Street off of the interior parking lot. So that's a great question. It is, it's really not taking store frontage that runs along the sidewalks of Main Street. It's really in the suites to the back, which may be a challenge to fill as well. So I think it's a great reuse.
That was my point, it's not taking up retail space on the front.
So. Correct.
Going to say, according to the draft I see, it looks like it goes all the way to the front, but I know it doesn't.
I'm sorry?
The graph that we've got up right now looks like it actually runs all the way up to Main Street, which it's not.
Well, the existing frontage is closer to Main Street, or the existing 233 is closer to Main Street. And I'll let Mr. Pounds address that. But the existing business is actually closer than the expansion to Main Street.
It's a good question, Tony. I think that says 229 on the screen there, and that's storefront facing Main Street is the Guesthouse Schmidt office there, and we would not be taking that space that Guesthouse Schmidt is in.
That one's better.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions or comments, Cliff? You're all good. So we'll entertain a motion for item 7C.
I think we actually need to open for a public
hearing. Well, we can't open for public hearing or comments. I don't have anything up here, but anyone want to speak on this matter? I will close public comments.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion to approve and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 7C carries and is approved. Thank you. So, Cliff, technically, we're approving 2026-25 CUP, correct?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving to item 8A, consider the possible action on appeal of the Director of Development Services denial of an STR unoccupied permit on 604 South Creek. So, is the owner here?
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Mayank. I live in Austin, and I have this home here in Fredericksburg. The reason we bought this house is because this is where I asked my wife in 2020 to marry me. We took a trip, so Fredericksburg held a special place. We visit here time to time, but obviously we do short-term rental because to pay for some of the expenses of the house. still running mostly losses, but want to maintain the house. Everything has been in compliance ever since we have started to do Airbnb in the house. All the fees have been paid in time. I have some documents here if you would like to see. Also have been paying all the HOT in time, never delayed. So what happened is every year I've been getting reminders for renewal of the permit. Last year, for some reason, I didn't get that. Now, I understand it's not the duty of the office to send me those reminders, but I wasn't aware of the process. So every time I went in to file taxes, I saw it showed the permit status was active in the MGO Connect portal. So I thought it's still in good state, everything's fine. So I have actually been filing all the taxes. It's been actively an STR. So just recently found out that the permit was revoked, which is was a little bit of a surprise. So when I reached out, then I was told that it was revoked, I think, earlier this year. And that's the state. It's a miscommunication, and I didn't really know what the process was. And every time I went into the portal, it said it was active. So because I don't live here, I'm not aware of if there's potential changes to the process of renewal or the duration. Like, instead of every year, maybe it was changed to every couple of years. So I was just under the impression that everything is in good standing, and just continue to, operate the same way. So as soon as I found out, I reached out to the office, spoke with them, and they told me about the process. I filed for this, and I'm here with the documentation and everything. There hasn't been any complaint. There's ample parking spaces. You can park about, 16, 20 cars inside the property. There's not been any complaint about noise, anything about the guests, no trash. Everything has been perfectly handled.
So when I always disclose publicly, I have an ADU in my backyard, so I do have a short-term rental that I rent. So I just want to make that public. I did drive your property last night and took a look at it, but I'll pause for council comments here.
So in the records, it says that you had it for sale, but you've taken it off.
It was two or three years ago I had put it up, but as I said, like, I live in Austin, I have a very super busy life with a toddler and infant, and I'm building a startup. So I don't really actively participate in the buying selling thing. 2 years ago, I had asked one of the agents that, because of the busy life, if it's possible to sell it, but just never actively did it. That's why it never sold. So I just asked her to remove it. It's fine.
So I know we can't predict the future, but are you planning to sell it still?
Not actively. This is, as I said earlier, like, there's an emotional connection to Fredericksburg. Sometimes it gets difficult to handle if the Airbnb part of it. But otherwise, I do have a property manager here in Fredericksburg, so they now take care of most of the things. So it's been easier. So I don't necessarily. In fact, I intend to actually upgrade the property. It's a very old property, and I would like to, at some point, if I have enough time, to invest and upgrade it to, like, a a really nice single family home. Excuse me, I'm under the weather.
Do you own other B&Bs or
short-term
rentals?
This is the only one.
The other thing is, if I've read correctly, it's not been in operation. Is that right?
You mean, is no it actively been rented
right
out?
Right.
Not since the notice. I just wasn't aware that the permit was revoked, so it has been actively, rented out, and I've been also paying all the taxes and monthly fees related to short-term rental.
So we've received income from the rentals.
So my understanding is, so the applicant is correct. He has complied in that he's not continued to rent it once he received the notice. I believe you have filed your quarterly hot tax with the zero collection to remain compliant, right? You've continued to file your hot taxes, but you've showed no rental income received. You claim zero, right?
No, the quarters I did receive, I did show I received the income.
But lately you would file.
The next one
would be a zero.
Yes.
So, long story short, he has complied once he received the notice not to continue to rent it. He was compliant with hot tax payments while he was renting it, even though it didn't have the permit. Shannon, Ms. Hudson, has come on board and been very good about following up and doing audits on all the STRs, and this was caught as part of her audit process.
Gary, any comments or questions? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move.
Other comments?
No, I'm ready to make a motion. I move to deny the appeal of the STR unoccupied permit at 604 South Creek Street.
Motion.
Second that.
Motion second. All in favor of
aye.
Denial?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The motion is denying the STR unoccupied permit requests. Thank you. Moving to item 8B, consider and take possible action on a request for street closures for part of the Colonel Film permit application.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. This morning, I'm bringing forward a couple of street closures as part of the Colonel feature film production that is scheduled to happen here in Fredericksburg in June and July. Under the city's code of ordinances, council approval is required for street closures exceeding 2 hours, which applies to portions of this request. Specifically, these closures are centered around 420 Plum Street and 815 Sunset Street between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. There's also a possibility for a closure around the old Fredericksburg Middle School, which will be worked out between our staff and the film's production crew. These closures have been okayed by our emergency services departments and our public works departments. It's important to note that these closures represent just one component of the film permit. The full permit can be approved by city staff once additional operational details are finalized. As part of that film permit, the production company is required to coordinate with and accommodate affected neighbors, including maintaining access and providing notification to them. This project is led by Fredericksburg resident Tim Williams and is estimated to bring in around $750,000 in local economic impact, and it reflects our continued efforts to support Fredericksburg as a film-friendly community. At this time, I'll turn it over to the production's location manager, Chris Petro, to answer any of your questions. Chris? Sorry, Tim's going to speak on behalf of the movie.
Hi, I'm Tim Williams. I'm the writer, director, producer of The Colonel. It's a story that was something that I lived through back when I was a child. I was going to a school in Fort Worth, and it was a new private school called Country Day, and the kids were basically running the show. They really had a tough time with trying to get people on the same page, especially kids. It was just a lot of bullying and a lot of other things. And so the headmaster, who was a visionary, but he didn't really have the ability to put the discipline in place, decided to reach out to somebody who was at another school in Oklahoma named Colonel Rocky Rossiter, who was a retired Marine colonel, had served in World War II and Korea, was about to be a lifetime Marine, and they discovered he had an irregular heartbeat, and so he was forced into retirement. And he had offers to go to Wall Street and several other places. And instead, he chose to become an educator because he wanted to pass along the things that he knew were not being passed along, which were really traditional old school values, courage, pride, loyalty. And it was quite an experience for a young kid like myself because I was not ready for something like this, nor was anyone else. And the colonel came in and through his rigorous dedication, discipline to discipline, and he had an incredible heart also. He basically was able to reach inside each person, whether it was a student or teacher or parent, and somehow find the best in them and bring it out. And I have been trying to put this film together. I wrote it for about 17 years, and I looked in Fort Worth, I looked in Austin, I actually looked overseas. And finally, after having lived in Fredericksburg for 5 years, which we moved from Dallas several years ago, I decided that Fredericksburg was the perfect spot to resemble the humble and modest state that Fort Worth was back in 1969. And that's the era that we're representing in the film. And the story is really about what Colonel was able to do in his first season, very short period of time, to somehow break the mold and the whole idea of bullying, the whole idea of being undisciplined, and get people on board with him. And I think it's an inspirational story. I think it reflects definitely the values that I've come to know about Fredericksburg, the whole idea of respect, of mutual hard work and teamwork and loyalty. So that's really what I've been trying to do. And the film that we're trying to do is very contained. It's just in a few spots. We've got the Heritage School, we've got the old Fredericksburg Middle School, and then we have a few houses, I think, that Sean just referenced. But now I'd like to bring up Chris Petro, who's our location manager, and he can discuss it further. Thank you.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Very good. Wonderful town. I've had a good time here. First time in Texas was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago working in Austin on a TV show called Fear the Walking Dead. As I'm sure you are aware, we shot all of season 7 in Austin, Texas. And I mean, it's a great state. Any opportunity I get to go to Houston or Dallas to go watch some major league games or even go to Round Rock, huge baseball fan, huge football fan. So I feel at home in Texas, even though I'm from Ohio. Logistically speaking, I know Tim touched base on some of the locations where we will be filming. Heritage School, Fredericksburg ISD, 420 Plum Street. I'd love to talk about the logistics for that, if that's okay. So 420 Plum Street, most of what we will be doing will be on property and inside of the house. But there will be a scene where a car is parked outside on the street, and in order to safely have our crew on the street, we'd love to do a temporary traffic closure. Cones, officers, however you all would work that out. And you know, I've been in touch with Mr. Schnelli and a few other people in town. You know, we ran into them at the car show. It was a great car show, by the way. We might be laying dolly track down in the street, putting equipment out there. So just for the safety of our crew, we'd like to, you know, get an approval on that. We'd be doing something similar at 815 Sunset Street, which I think is maybe 6-7 minutes away. The difference with Sunset Street is it's a lot more involved. And as I'm sure you saw from the maps that we submitted, there's an alley behind Sunset, that location in particular, that we'd like to move a crane into place. I don't think we're going to be able to have the crane live in the alley. If it can, we're looking into possibly rolling back the fence and moving it into the yard in the backyard of 815 Sunset Street. But we'd like to have some sort of assistance in controlling the lane while moving the equipment into place, if that's possible. If we get permission to roll back the fence, we, of course, will check with 811 Dig to make sure that the piece of equipment isn't damaging anything. So some guidance would be helpful there. Now, this location, we are planning to shoot 2.5 days in the schedule. The first day for 815 Sunset Street would be Wednesday, July 8th. Now, on that day, it's all day scenes. We may need a little bit of assistance in the morning, just with crew arriving, you know, the chaos, so to speak, of, you know, 40 to 60 people on set moving and things like that, just to get us started. And then we shouldn't have too much activity in the street itself. But the two other days that we're going to be at that location, currently scheduled for July 17th and July 20th, that already may be changing, again, with your approval, we would be doing night scenes. So a lot of that would start later in the day. We'd set up, we'd start getting going, and then we would ask for permission to film at night. Now, we would be in touch with all neighbors. With your approval first, we would flyer every house on the block, and we've already started talking to people. I have people on my team that will, with your permission, take a flyer, go and knock on doors and say, hey, we're hoping to film here towards the end of July. This is what we're hoping to do. And of course, with your all's permission, we go forward with that and we become friends with the neighborhood, so to speak. The other part of that is that being a period piece, we would ask people to take their car, their current cars, and put them into their driveways or something like that, so we can place period cars on the street to make it realistic looking. We may also ask some neighbors to cut their lawn sooner, or maybe we cut it for them, which, as I'm sure you're all aware, often falls under my department in a film world, where we'll say, hey, can we cut your lawn for you? And people, I love the response. They're like, sure. Okay. Yeah. Have at it. Can we paint a wall for you? Yes, please. Purple, whatever color they were looking for. So logistically, I think that 815 Sunset Street, the night work would require more communication with the community. To me, that respect is important to say, this is who we are. This is what we'd like to do. And hear back from the community and make sure that everybody feels like they're part of it in a way where they feel welcome and not excluded. Now, for some of those night scenes, we would have exterior shots out front of 815 Sunset Street where we would need to possibly put lights in the street, similar to what we were going to be doing at 420 Plum Street, and maybe for about a two-hour time frame like we were talking about. Now, if we had traffic control, we, of course, would not prohibit folks from getting to and from their homes ever. It may be a quick hold, like if you can hold for a minute or two, we yell cut, safely get crew out of the street, get people to their homes. Logistically, that's about all I have to share.
I have a question from a point. Are you looking for police support or do you bring in your own security people?
We absolutely would love to have police support. I feel like it's, especially for street closures, I feel like it's...
Well, I can understand that, but what I question is, do you have patrol units that sit there during the day for you, or do you have security people come in for those purposes?
It's really dependent on how you, as the city of Fredericksburg, are most comfortable with what we do. Oftentimes, we'll hire an off-duty officer that works for the city of Fredericksburg
okay.
with your approval, if possible. Yeah. We'd have them parked out there probably in a cruiser if you allow it for, I don't know what the minimum is in the city of Fredericksburg. I know it's 3 to 4 hours in most localities with where I work. So whatever works.
Well, you do need conjunction with them, but what I was implying was, do you actually need the police to sit around all day long, or do you have your own people, off-duty officers or what else? In other words, is it a cost to the city?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we would pay the hourly rate if the city felt it was necessary to have a police officer on that is active, and we would pay however okay. you'd like through the city, but we can also supplement with off-duty.
So when you're talking about the lights, are you doing some evening?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
So, Chief, are you okay with that approach, please?
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I think the right approach is we have off-duty management on our website, and where they could go and hire an off-duty police officer, which they would cover the cost of the hourly rate and a fee for the use of the vehicle. We steer all of our clients or individuals asking for security or traffic control to our off-duty management, and so they will hire an off-duty Fredericksburg police officer in a uniformed and a marked car, and that off-duty management fees for the hourly rate and the vehicle cover the cost to the city. We would direct them that way.
So you're okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. And to Tony's question, Fredericksburg becomes a tourist town on the weekends, and neighbors are very sensitive to noise and light.
Sir.
So we really work to try to control that to the best of our abilities. It gets dark here now, 8:45 roughly, so I'm assuming you're shooting at 10, 11 midnight time frames.
It's probable for those two nights at 815 Sunset Street. What I can do is, once we have a time schedule, I can forward it to Sean and see about getting approval on that. But yes, I think the plan would be to start in the street as early as possible so we can get out of the street and move into the house so we can be less of an effect on the neighbors. And, you know, our first AD has been doing this for such a long time. He's, in my experience, quite respectful of those things. So he'll be creating a schedule, and I think okay. we can make it work.
I personally think this is exciting. I'd love to see Fredericksburg highlighted in your yes. film. So those are my thoughts, but council comments? Mm-hmm. Everyone's good? Any further questions, staff? You're okay? All right. Well, I'll entertain a motion on item 8B.
Make a motion, we approve item 8B.
Second.
Motion to approve and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any disapprove? Motion carries. Item 8B is approved. Items 8C and D we will take up in executive session. So I'll move to item 9A to our city manager.
Mayor, Council, sorry. We have Ashley Morris with us today giving an update on the Screwworm issue. Ashley.
Sure. So good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council. I'm here to provide an overview on the New World Screwworm response and the impacts currently with Gillespie County as well as City of Fredericksburg. And my goal this morning is just to provide an overview on how this incident has been unrolling out ever since last Monday. I also want to provide an update on emergency management activities and actions that we've been taking care of. And I also want to provide information for the community and public, if we have any public in the room or if we have any public who watched this session. So I do want to start off by reminding everybody that the New World Screwworm response is state and federally led. That means that there are three state and federal agencies who are leading the way in charge and overseeing this. As a local government or a local emergency management authority, we are just providing support to them in terms of what resources they would need from us in local government, as well as coordination and information to our residents. Starting with the timeline. So we were notified via press release by the USDA of our first confirmed positive case in a goat outside of Harper, Texas last Monday. So that was about 8 days ago. Tuesday afternoon, the Texas Animal Health Commission confirmed and rolled out infestation zone 3. And they also confirmed the case then too. So both the state and the feds were on the same page by last Tuesday. As a part of this infestation zone 3, Western Gillespie County was in that limited area. And as you can see on the map up there, the infested zone would be the yellow area. The blue area is what we call adjacent surveillance zone. And we're going to talk a little bit more in a minute about what those two zones mean. At the rollout of that Wednesday, TAHC released and staffed the checkpoints around that yellow area to help control animal movement. And they also provided animal restrictions through an executive director order that they put out Tuesday. Last Wednesday, Judge Daniel Jones also issued a disaster declaration on behalf of Gillespie County. This is really important because it legally allows us to put resources to this response if we need to use any money, if we need to use any staff or personnel. It also opens us up for future, hopefully, economic recovery disaster packages. And so typically a locality would have to put a disaster declaration, run that up to the state. We already have a state declaration, but the governor would also issue one of those. And then we would look at maybe getting some federal disaster relief funds. And so our focus with this declaration was, one, to show that we were ready to provide support to the state and federal efforts, but two, really stay tuned into what future packages we might see because economic loss and just the impact on the agriculture community in our county is probably one of our biggest concerns and focuses at this time. Thursday and Friday, we received information from TAHC on how they were rolling out methods for animal permits. And so kind of going back to the infestation zone, within that yellow zone, folks are not allowed to move any warm-blooded animals outside of that area without permit. So there was a little bit of confusion earlier last week about if people had to hold their animals in that zone or if they were allowed to leave. They are allowed to leave, but if they're in the yellow zone, they have to call the TAHC permit hotline. They will send out inspectors. They will verify that the animal is safe to move. They will issue a permit, and they will move the animal or be able to move the animal after that. So Thursday, Friday, they rolled out methods for that. We kind of echoed that out to the community, and then they were also working very closely with the livestock auction business in our county, but in all the counties that they're working with to make sure that they have protocols on how they're going to continue to run auctions and do so in a safe manner. Over the weekend, we actually received a Texas A&M vet emergency team who is setting up command at the AgriLife building right down the road. They are here to actually support us with permits. So if we have Gillespie County residents who need to move livestock or they want to go to the auction, or I know we have a Stonewall rodeo coming up this weekend, they are here to support all of the permit requests that we are getting from folks in that yellow infested zone. And then this week, it's really been pretty steady. We continue to work closely with state and federal agencies. The checkpoints are still in place around that yellow infested zone. We continue to connect residents with the hotline if they need to get a permit, and we stand ready to support any changes in those operations. But specifically on the emergency management side, I did just want to point out, we continue to do emergency alerting to our residents, making sure that they have all the guidance as it develops. We actually established an alert emergency text line. So for any residents who are in that yellow area or throughout Gillespie County, for their interest in screwworm-specific daily updates, or almost daily, they can text the word screwworm to 38276, and we are targeting specialized screwworm updates through that. Our most recent alert that we sent was Saturday, where we included some of the guidance from the state in terms of the FDA-approved animal drugs. We also included some of the state guidance on animal movement, just to continue to clarify some of the restrictions and how folks can clearly work through that. The state has mentioned that their focus is continuity of business, and so the governor, as well as the state and federal agencies, are doing everything possible to ensure that the agriculture economics continue and are not interrupted. So that's really kind of our focus there. And on top of that, emergency management just has been communicating with y'all, communicating with city and county authorities and agencies, and just making sure everyone's in the loop while we deal with that. To conclude my briefing, like I said, I really just want to remind some folks what they need to do if they have animals. And so the New World screwworm is something that can impact any kind of warm-blooded creature. So that's livestock, that's pets, and then rarely but possible, it's people. The USDA and the state agencies are encouraging folks to check their animals daily. Just take a look at them, keep an eye on them. If you find any wounds on your animals, your pets, your cows, your horses, they're asking that you make sure to treat it. So find a wound, treat it, cover it. And keep an eye on it, because that is typically where the screwworm will lay their eggs and their larvae, and that is exactly where it's going to target. They're also requesting that residents will report any suspicious wounds. So if you see something not right on your animal, report it immediately to the TAHC, and you're going to use the number 1-800-550-8242, and that is 24/7. So they've got vets and folks on call to take that call so that they can send out inspectors. If you're looking to move animals from that yellow infested zone, you're going to call the Gillespie County Inspection Line at 737-292-9983. And that is specifically for us. They're really trying to give lines to different zones so they can kind of focus on that. So make sure to give them a call. I spoke to our vet team, who, again, they're fielding all the inspection requests as of yesterday, and they said yesterday was a light day, but they did say if anybody put in any requests last week and they didn't get to it, to maybe reapply, so that we can take a look at that again and really throw some resources into that. If you have general questions just about, you know, what New World screwworm is, what the impacts are, anything for the TAHC, you're going to call 737-900-7455 for their inquiry line. And then, like I mentioned, screwworm can actually impact wildlife too. So that's deer, that's exotics, that's any kind of warm-blooded animal. I know we've got kangaroos in the county, so that's also something. So if you see wildlife, you're going to actually call Texas Parks and Wildlife at 512-389-4505. Texas Parks and Wildlife is overseeing the inspections on that. So they're going out upon request. They're doing all the inspections, and they're coordinating with the other two agencies as well. So that kind of concludes my briefing. Just want to remind everybody this is something that we can all work together to monitor and get through. If anybody has any questions about impacts in Gillespie County, needs, concerns, or anything about the state and federal response, I encourage people to call me on my 24/7 cell. I'm working very closely with the State Operations Center. I'm working closely with the command post here in town, and I will work as hard as possible to get that information to y'all. But with that, thank you so much for being able to breathe.
I have some questions like usual.
Sure.
Number one, you're doing a great job, and I do look for your emails because you do keep us abreast, and that's good. The other part is, and you may not know the answer to this, these yellow spot zones, how long will they be in that zone or called that zone? We know the goat supposedly is going to live, so how long does that take, or do you know?
Yeah, so we are following up with TAHC on that. I'm trying to get a generalized timeline, but what they've been saying is it's indefinite. And really, it depends, because once they roll that yellow and blue zone out, they start doing a ton of trapping, inspections, and then also surveillance. If they find something else, it's probably going to change the zone, expand, and stay longer. If they don't, we might see a lift on that. But at this time, we're told indefinitely, and I think we'll just have to follow up to get exact dates and timelines from them on that.
So you know what kind of response the group from A&M is giving as far as putting out or doing inspections? Do you know a time frame on that, or have they had many to begin with, I guess?
Yeah, so they got here this weekend. They started officially yesterday. They had quite a few yesterday on some different properties, but they did say that it wasn't a crazy amount of call volume. They were kind of thinking some of that might have had to do with like some of the storms and stuff like that. So they're not to their capacity yet. They're here for at least the whole week, and they're actually planning for, you know, weekly rotations indefinitely. So as far as yesterday, they were out on private properties around Gillespie County. They're also working with, again, some of the auction barns. So that's that.
Just a reminder for everybody, the auction barn has USDA inspectors all the time, and they always have.
Yeah, and I did want to remind folks, too, we reached out to the auction here in town last week. They want to remind people that they have a TAHC inspector on site all the time also. And so they were on site last week. They continue to be there, and they continue to work really closely with the agencies in command.
Ashley, I've noticed, and by the way, thank you for all the updates. And as I've mentioned, you conduct calls on the evenings for us and keep us abreast of things. I noticed the adjacent surveillance zone has expanded because originally it was not within Fredericksburg. It now encompasses Fredericksburg. Is there any reason for that, or is it just being proactive?
Yeah, so I wanted to follow up because we do get a lot of questions on what is infested and what is adjacent. So the blue zone has absolutely no animal restrictions, and it has nothing at all. The only reason they put that out is because for their operations, they are expanding fly trapping and surveillance just to see if anything has fallen out of that zone. We haven't heard of any changes to that zone or anything that they have found, but we do encourage residents, including Fredericksburg, to maintain good situational awareness, check your pets, and also do your own surveillance, as we're just trying to make sure it's not outside of that yellow zone. I know some of the AgriLife scientists like to bring up that flies don't follow boundaries. So just because you're not exactly in the yellow zone doesn't mean that there might not be a fly with some larvae on an animal right outside it. So that kind of provides the clarity of the blue elevated situational awareness zone.
Any questions? Real good. Ashley, thank you so much for your professionalism. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, moving to item 8.10, future agenda items.
Okay, Mayor, Council, thank you. Council meetings and other meetings coming up. First of all, our regular July 7th meeting. We did not have any pressing items for that agenda, so we are canceling that regular meeting on July 7th. July 21st, street closure request for South Lincoln Street for the Makers Market. We also have the Gillespie Central Appraisal District tax collection, delinquent tax collection proposal to hire a legal firm to handle that. We have a timeline to for the council to take action on that per the appraisal district. Also coming up on the 21st, we have another quarterly EDC update from Tim. Anything else on the 21st? Other meetings, of course, we did have our special meeting yesterday, and coming up on the 23rd, Citizen University featuring Public Works and our capital improvement plan. Be happy to answer any questions or if you have any additions or deletions.
Has the Native Plant Main Street initiative, it continues to get pushed back?
Yes, and they were actually trying to get on the 7th, so we'll push that to the 21st. And I think the problem has been scheduling their architect who's donating his services, you know, so that he has the time to present to council. But that is still in motion.
Any additional questions, comments?
Mayor, on the future agenda items list, remember there will be a budget meeting on the 14th of July, so please put that down on your calendars. That's at 9 a.m., July 14th.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. With that, then we will recess into executive session to cover items A, B, and C. Thank you.
It is 11:32. I will call us back into session, having discussed executive items A, B, and C.
I make a motion to reappoint Jessica Middle and Sharon Joseph to the Historic Review Board.
Second.
First and second, all approve it.
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Remainder of planning and zoning and ZBA, we are going to carry forward. We have no action pending further conversations. Moving to 11B, appointment of city attorney.
I make a motion to appoint for the position of city attorney Barbara Quirk, based on the agreed upon employment agreement.
Second.
First and second, all approving.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 11B passes. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
11C, discussion of LCRA water supply purchase lease pursuant to Texas Government Code.
Make a motion to approve an amendment to the LCRA wholesale power supply agreement.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 11C approved. Any further conversation or discussion?